It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. As census data is collected, there's a distinct possibility that West Virginians are poised to lose representation in Washington, D.C.
The first census after West Virginia got into the Union was 1870. We were given 3 representatives. So this will be the lowest amount of representation we've ever had in the history of the United States.
A little history coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Last week, we kicked off another season of the Legislature Today here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Every weeknight through the West Virginia legislative session, we bring you the latest news from the State House. On last night's episode, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with Senate President Mitch Carmichael about his leadership team's plan for the 2020 session. Here's an excerpt from that interview taped live from the Capitol Building in Charleston.
You rolled out the Senate Republican legislative agenda. It's all about jobs.
It is about jobs, and it should be about jobs. The people of the West Virginia deserve opportunities that are found throughout the rest of America. And we've been on an incline path with regard to more jobs, better wages, more opportunity for our state. But I think it's very important that the legislature, particularly the Senate, keeps focus on creating more jobs, more opportunity, and more, frankly, hope for the citizens of West Virginia. It feels good to be a part of this resurgence of our state.
It's a focus on getting that labor force participation rate up from last in the nation.
You've hit on the probably the most important marker of our economic status in West Virginia. Many people may not be aware that we have the lowest workforce participation rate in America. In other words, the people that are eligible to work in our state do so at about a 52 or 53% rate, whereas that's the last in the nation. And we believe it has a lot to do with obviously our opioid epidemic, but also the lack of skills, the training that doesn't match the workforce needs. So we were very intent last year to introduce and pass Senate Bill 1, which was a bill that I championed that enabled community and technical college education for every West Virginian.
And less than a year into its implementation, it has made an impact.
It has made such an incredible impact in just since June 30th of this year.
When it comes to our leaders of public education, it's no secret that you haven't been very pleased in the last 6 months. Just 2 months ago, Senator, you said in an opinion piece, quote, "There's been a litany of excuse making from the state education officials following the release of the National Assessment for Education Progress, results which show West Virginia test scores falling behind again," unquote. And then even earlier in the summer, when the state board offered a pay raise to the state superintendent of schools, you wrote, quote, "I believe this is symptomatic of the board's consistent pattern of mistakes and misalignment with the steps that are necessary to enhance student success." So tonight, what is your evaluation of our public education leaders?
Well, let me just say, I'm very proud to have written these comments, and I would reiterate them today. And our leaders from the state education department have received a wake-up call, I believe. They've looked at what the legislature has been able to accomplish, and when one is confronted, Suzette, when the people of West Virginia are aware of the performance of our testing results, how else should one evaluate an education system? I mean, I hear all the time from the education department these excuses about one thing after another. But at the end of the day, it's about educating kids. And we care, this state's in it, and me personally and the legislature care about our children learning and being able to compete on a world-class level. So very intent on making sure that we provide those services. And when you look at what we've done in education, under our leadership, teacher pay rates have gone exponentially higher. For years under Democrat control, there were no pay raises, zero. a little bit, $1,000 here, $1,000 there. Under the last 2 years, we've given the largest pay raise. They've earned it. They deserve it, the teachers. But in state history, the largest two pay raises in state history have been delivered under the last 2 years. Furthermore, we've put additional $30 million into additional wraparound services in our schools for school counselors, nurses, healthcare professionals, those vital services that are needed. So this legislature and the people of West Virginia are making enormous financial commitments to the education, public education system in our state. And we, the citizens and our parents and our students, deserve results, and we're going to keep the pressure on.
That was Legislature Today host Suzanne Higgins speaking with Senate President Mitch Carmichael. Visit our website to hear the full interview and tune in weeknights at 6 for the latest episodes here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Rain on and off today with highs in the 50s and 60s. Tonight, cloudy. There's still a chance of rain with lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 50s and 60s. Thursday, rain and snow showers early, partial clearing through the day with highs only in the 30s and 40s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW with flights to Orlando, Florida MCO beginning February 14th. More at JaegerAirport.com. West Virginia is no stranger to the consequences of population decline. Census experts say losing residents has meant losing money, losing business, losing jobs, and federal assistance for emergencies and infrastructure. After the 2020 census, one study projects that it could mean losing another member in the U.S. House of Representatives. Emily Allen explains.
Joining us next to discuss politics in West Virginia is Jack Deutsch, Washington.
This is the introduction to a C-SPAN clip from May 1992. It's primary season.
In West Virginia's primary tomorrow, two incumbent members of the House of Representatives are facing off.
That's referring to an unexpected contest between two members of the U.S. House of Representatives, Alan Mullahan and Harley Staggers Jr. Both men were longtime Democrats in what was, in the 90s and much of the last century, a mostly Democratic state. Until this 1992 primary, they each had their own seats and probably never dreamed of running against one another. So what changed? Again, here's that clip from C-SPAN. You're going to hear from then-host Catherine Buckley and journalist Jack Deutsch.
West Virginia has lost one seat in the House of Representatives. Why is that?
The House is apportioned according to population nationwide, and West Virginia is one of two states, I think, to have lost population since the last census. And as a result, when they reapportioned the number of seats, West Virginia went from 4 to 3.
Every 10 years, the federal government holds a census. In the following election, those census results are used to decide which states gain seats and which states lose seats in Congress. In 1990, West Virginia lost. The state legislature, which had a Democratic majority, redistricted the state accordingly in 1991. The way they redrew the districts, the area Staggers lived in, which included Mineral County, became part of the new 1st Congressional District, most of which Mullahan had represented. Staggers didn't want to give up Congress, so he challenged Mullahan in the primary. The situation made national news for pitting Democrat against Democrat.
And after Tuesday's primary, who will the winner face in the general election?
No one. There's no one has filed. It's again.
In the end, Staggers lost. Mullahan went on to serve the 1st Congressional District for another 19 years. 3 decades later, a report from the Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm Election Data Services predicts West Virginia will lose another seat in the next congressional reapportionment, following the 2020 census. Should the Republican Party again win all 3 seats in next year's election, the situation they face in 2022 could be similar to what Democrats experienced in 1992. As far as who decides their fate, again, that's up to who controls the West Virginia legislature after the 2020 election. Right now, it's mostly Republican.
I've been through a couple of these processes now, and it will be the first time, hopefully, that the Republicans will be in the majority party as we go enter into redistricting process.
That's Senator Mitch Carmichael, a Republican.
And so it's a little bit preliminary to form a redistricting committee because it is based on the census data that as yet has not been released and or counted.
As in...
That's Jake Nichols, Senate parliamentarian. Basically, he's a staffer that advises senators on the rules that come with being senators. State code requires that the legislature draw district lines in a way that gives everybody equal representation. It requires that counties be kept contiguous and districts be as compact as possible.
Article 624 of the Constitution allows for each house of legislature to... They're the... judge of their own elections, and they determine their own rules. So how each body handles redistricting can be different sometimes.
Even though state code says the legislature has the authority to draw its own lines and congressional lines, it doesn't really prescribe an exact process.
Sometimes they just go to, like the Judiciary Committee has handled it. Last time we had a select committee on redistricting, and but that's the normal course. Either they have a select committee to deal with it, or usually it's the judiciary committees that would deal with it in either house.
The State House of Delegates has the same ability to draft maps and introduce them for final approval, by the way. Spokespersons for all three of West Virginia's House representatives, David McKinley, Alex Mooney, and Carol Miller, declined to share specific details for re-election campaigns after 2022. It's unclear for the time being how the legislature will redraw congressional district lines and which representatives those lines will help most. But the implications of losing more representation on Capitol Hill are widely received as negative.
When we deal with the House of Representatives and losing their representatives, we're dealing on a national level. We're dealing about the number of voices that are going to be in Washington for West Virginia and for Appalachia.
That's Professor Emeritus Ken Martis. He still teaches political geography at West Virginia University, and he's written several books on reapportionment and redistricting.
The first census after West Virginia got into the Union was 1870. In 1870, we were given three representatives. So this will be the lowest amount of representation we've ever had in the history of the United States.
There was a time when this process actually worked in West Virginia's favor. In the 40 years that followed the 1870 census, West Virginia actually added three more seats.
We actually reached six representatives in the 1910 census.
When conditions weren't looking great for these industries, coal and other industrialization, it took a toll on the state's population. In 1960, we lost our first seat in Congress as other states began experiencing faster growth than West Virginia. States like Texas, which has 36 representatives. The same report that expects West Virginia will lose a representative predicts Texas will gain three more seats. Or Florida, which has 27 representatives now and could receive another two. These predictions aren't official until we know the results of the upcoming census. But is there anything West Virginia can do to avoid losing another seat on Capitol Hill? Martis has doubts.
In the short term, probably not. But the progress being made in the Eastern Panhandle and here in North Central West Virginia, that's the key.
West Virginia will begin redistricting according to whatever census results it gets in 2021. Losing a U.S. House representative would also mean losing a member of the Electoral College. West Virginia currently has five, and it risks being reduced to four. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
That story was featured in our most recent episode of Inside Appalachia titled, Politics is a Difficult Subject, but Necessary Inside Appalachia. You can find the full episode wherever you get your podcasts or at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.